Dial is going to bring up our message outline this morning, and we're just going to begin with the word of prayer before we jump into that. So let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you are doing, Lord, despite the challenges. And Lord, we just want to ask that you would just really speak to our hearts now. Help us, Lord, as we just dig into your word. Teach us, Lord, as only you can by your spirit and through your word. And Father, help to equip us, Lord, for the day that we live in and for the days that will come, Lord, that we don't know what they'll bring. We just want to pray, Lord, for your help. I just pray that you take away our distractions and just guide us now as we think through some really challenging sort of countercultural concepts again today. And Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we dive in this morning, I just ask you guys to open up your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to just use that as sort of a jumping off place. Certainly illustrates the fact that we're going to look at this morning. But we're continuing our series called Running Well and Finishing Strong, Practices That Strengthen Us for the Journey. And I don't know about you, it sort of like seems like we need a lot of strength for this journey. And I'll share with you, I don't know how you feel, but I know many times I just feel really tired. And I'll share a funny story. We took a trip several years ago after Easter. We had a chance to go over to visit Jane's family over in the United Kingdom. And we went to a bed and breakfast and we got settled in, and the lady saw me and she said, "Man, are you okay? You look shattered." And I guess that was an English way of saying, you don't look too hot. You look pretty tired, pretty fried. And I don't know about you, but the life that we're living right now and the challenges that we face sure make us feel just like that. And I want to share with you, we're going to drop on down to the next slide. Today, we want to give you some thoughts that are going to help us kind of work on being equipped to deal with what life brings us and to bring glory to God and to accomplish the purpose that God has us for. And we're going to focus today on the personal disciplines that can kind of help us get close to God so that God and his word and his spirit are going to be impactful upon us. And we'll look at 1 Kings chapter 19 as our place to jump off, as I mentioned. So we're going to go down to the eternal truth this morning. And the eternal truth I want to share with you is this, and we've been talking about this, in order for us to be equipped to deal with all the things that we go through, we need supernatural power and supernatural direction as well. And I want to share with us, in terms of our spiritual fitness, greater engagement with God results in greater spiritual fitness. And I want to think about this in the context, and we'll remember last week we studied three key core principles that are true for every believer in every day, is that we need to engage with scripture, we need to really practice prayer, and we need to participate in corporate worship where we can be encouragers and iron sharpening iron to each other. But the challenge we face, that's not always easy. And we want to talk today about sort of a connection, what we call practicing personal individual spiritual disciplines that will create for us a richer environment to engage deeply with God. And I want to move down from there. And I just want to take a quick minute to review where we were. Last week, we talked about sort of some foundational principles of, you know, what does it mean? People talk about being spiritual, and that's something that the world even lifts up as a good thing. What's it mean to be truly spiritual? God's work of spiritual growth, what's God really doing in us to equip us to get us ready for life? What's my piece of that equation, my work of spiritual growth? And it's not being more self-sufficient or more disciplined, but it's putting myself in a place where God and his word and the spirit can impact me. And then what are the roles of these practices? And the key thing is connecting us to the power of God, not just trying harder or trying to do it in our own strength. So I want to move down real quick and just kind of review those. The first one was, what's it mean to be truly spiritual? And Dow, just slide that down if you would. We talked about what's it mean to be really spiritual. And what it really means is being spiritual means we have to be born of the spirit. You know, Jesus said it in John chapter 3, verse 5. You know, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So the foundation of any kind of spiritual growth is going to come out of our salvation experience with Christ and his continued work in us as he sets us apart and sanctifies us. The second thing I want to say very quickly, and we'll move down to the next slide, is this. When we think about God's work of spiritual growth, what's God trying to do? We use this word equipping. He's trying to equip us. The word of God, you know, equips us to for every good work, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But what God's trying to do is he's trying to conform us to the image of his son. He's trying to make us look like Christ and be little Christ. You know, the word Christian we mentioned last time means little Christ. What God's trying to do is to help us to be like him in our love, in our self-sacrifice for others. He wants us to live out on this earth, Christ in us, you know, the hope of glory. He wants us to be, as Galatians 2:20 says, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ lives within me. We're supposed to be living that out. And God's trying to change us and conform us to be like Jesus, not ourselves. And you know how we all struggle. You know, we struggle with our selfishness and our flesh and doing how to do things our way and getting what we want. And God's trying to change all that, because just think about the stress that you have in your life right now in trying to get what you want. And I think about it in my life too. Like, there's so many things I can't do that I want to do, even at church or in my family or in my personal life. I'm inhibited from doing those things, and it's really frustrating. And that can just totally ruin and wreck my life. But if God conforms me to the image of Christ more, then I can have peace even in the midst of those things. Remember, Jesus said that. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. The next thing I want to just share, kind of just remembering these ideas, is, so what's my work? And we'll move down in our slides. What's my work of spiritual growth? And Paul said this to Timothy, his young son in the faith, and he just said these words. He said, I want you to be nourished in the words of faith and good doctrine. And he says, but I want you to exercise yourself toward godliness. So our part is not to be godly or make ourselves godly, but to exercise ourselves, to put ourselves in a place that God can really work on us, hammer out the dents and do the things that he needs to do in us. And that word I mentioned that last time is, it's a Greek word, it's agonizomai, and you hear that word agony in it. And it's the idea of an athlete who is just striving and disciplining himself to do everything it takes to win. And that's what God wants us to do, to discipline ourselves, to be in the crucible where God can work on us. And it says, for this to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach. So God's trying to conform us to the image of Christ. Our place is to put ourselves in a place where God can do that and to be open to the changes that God gives us. Sometimes they don't always feel good. And a lot of times it doesn't even seem logical, but God's doing something through his word and through his spirit that is going to make it, make us who he wants us to be. So just sliding on down, the last piece to just kind of reflect back on from last time is, you know, this role of spiritual disciplines and practices is connecting us to God's power. And remember that passage in Matthew chapter 11 that says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the Lord wants us to take his yoke upon him. In other words, God's trying to train us and discipline us like a yoke on an animal, but that yoke is so much lighter and better and easier than it is to do anything else, like trying to keep the law or to do things in our own power. And God's trying to train us. So we're trying to connect ourselves in to the power of God through his word, through prayer, through worship, those core things where God can change us through his spirit and even through the influence of others as iron sharpens iron. So I want to move down and I want to kind of get focused on this idea. So we had this idea last week of core disciplines, and you can see them up on the screen right now. And the core disciplines, and we just want to go through these words are important as we kind of think this through. Core disciplines are engaging with scripture. Remember, we kind of broke this down into a little sort of memorable acronym, RSMMS. How do we engage with scripture? Well, we can read it, you know, maybe not studying it deeply always, but we can read it and reflect on it and think about it. We can study it deeply and really dig in. What do the words mean? What's the context? How does it all work? We can meditate on it. Just let the words of scripture dwell in us to give us hope. Things like, you know, Psalm 46, you know, our God is a refuge and help, a very present help in times of need. That's a good verse to reflect on. Memorizing scripture, having that there for us to draw along when the challenges get tough. Sharing scripture with others, you know, say, hey, you know, this really spoke to my heart. This really gave me hope in the midst of the struggle I was in. That's what we're talking about, right? Practicing prayer constantly, personally, collectively in our families, in our church, universally, in praying about everything. And Paul says that in Philippians, right? Praying about all things. Participating in corporate worship where we humble ourselves, we praise God, we bring something for others, not just for ourselves. We receive from others, and as a body, we are built up as a whole. And I want to just say this, that's kind of the truth. These are the practices that will perfect us, that will grow us, that will equip us and mature us. But here's the challenge. Isn't it hard to do those things? And we know it is, right? There's this tyranny that we struggle with, the tyranny of time and distractions and everything that pulls at us and tugs at us. It makes it hard to pull this off. And that's where these personal disciplines come in. And I want to just move right on down to that today as we look at that thought this morning. And I want to give you some personal things that will help. And by the way, I want to say this. These are not the end. These are the means to the end to get us in a place where God's word, worship corporately, and prayer is going to make a difference to equip us in life. And I want us to think about these things. Some of these things, maybe we know them. We probably don't practice them the way that we could or way that we should. Some of these things, maybe we've never, ever practiced, and it would be helpful to us to do that to sort of get us in this place where we can get close to God. So we'll look at those. And the first one I just want to share with us is this idea of having solitude or silence. And the issue is that we need to defeat the noise and the distraction in our lives that just, you know, keeps us not thinking deeply about things, keeps us from really focusing on what God says and from growing and from, you know, sort of getting out of the tyranny of the urgent into the things that matter. We need some solitude and some silence. If we're always in the noise, we're always in the fray, we're always in the battle, we're never really going to grow much. The second thing, and this is one we all struggle with, especially me, you know, this is sort of the, you know, that statement, the pot calling the kettle black. Well, this is me, I struggle with this, but we need to have rest. The Lord gave us the Sabbath, we'll talk about that, and gave us this idea of having margin built into our lives where, you know, we add one more thing, it's not going to be where the straw that breaks the camel's back every single day, every single moment. And we need that because we have to fight fatigue, because fatigue keeps us, again, from changing and from entering into what God wants us to do. But it also adds focus to our lives. When we're tired, we can't focus. We can't really work our way through stuff. The third thing I want to mention today is, and we'll dig into this in a minute, is fasting. Where we need to deny the flesh and discipline the body. And by the way, fasting, a lot of times it's talking about food, but it's not doing certain things. It's denying yourself, you know, participating in any kind of bona fide, could be a good thing for the purpose of drawing closer to God. So fasting is something we need to consider, and not so much something that we as Baptists typically do. And then the last thing is sort of an attitude of our hearts, but the idea of having humility and teachability. And that's opening up my ears, my mind, and my heart to hear God. And again, some of these concepts are a little bit challenging. Maybe we're going like, oh, I don't know about those things. But I challenge you, encourage you, listen to God's word today, and we'll kind of see how these fit into our lives. And they kind of give us this environment and this platform that we can then practice those core spiritual disciplines of being in the word of God and prayer and being in corporate worship where God can really be impactful to us. But we have to overcome these barriers in life that we all wrestle with today. So I want to slide down. I want to dig into the first one this morning. And the first one I want to focus on is this idea of solitude or silence. And I want you guys, you can be honest, if you guys want to put your hand up on the screen or you know, you can just amen quietly or put it in the chat. But how many of us struggle? It seems like life is always racing ahead. There's always something more to do. There's always another call, another voice, another thing that is demanding our attention. And it's very hard for us to think deeply about anything because we're so wrapped up into what we're doing at the moment. And once we stop doing that thing, then there's going to be more things for us to do, or more calls, or more people, or more stuff. And by the way, Jesus experienced that too. We'll look at that in a minute. But I want to share with you guys, and not going to look at the whole passage, the passage that Jim read so well from 1 Kings, you know, the story of Elijah. Elijah had just come out of this battle, and he had conquered the prophets of Baal. He killed them all. God was the one who was glorified in this whole thing, where he came down and just swallowed up the sacrifice with fire. And their gods were soundly defeated and proven to be nothing. And at the end of this, you know, it turns out that Jezebel was going to come get him and say she's going to kill him just like he killed them. And he is just running scared and afraid. And God wants to speak to him. And I'll pick it up in verse 9. It says, and he went into a cave and he spent the night in that place. That's not a bad place. A good place of safety for him and a place of getting away. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And I'll throw this out. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you're the only one in your family trying to stand for God. Maybe you're wrestling with all kinds of things. You feel like you're the only one left who's doing the right thing. And it could be in a myriad of situations in our families, on our jobs. And we often feel like that. We're the only one. You know, the lesson from this passage is clearly there are other people that are following God and doing the right thing. And you might see that, by the way, even on your jobs. You find out other people are Christians and they're having a great influence. And even during the pandemic, it's been neat to see how God has sprinkled Christians all over the place, places like the Board of Health, in our school systems, in our jobs, in government, in industry. There's Christians all over who are doing great things for God. We clearly are not the only ones left. And Elijah is looking to hear this word from God, just like we are. But he's so caught up in the midst of everything going on in life, he just can't hear God. And look what God says to him. He says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And again, like I think we have this idea sometimes that God's going to come shouting with the bullhorn. God's going to, you know, write it on the sky. God's going to give us some, you know, dramatic answer or direction through some climactic event on earth to communicate to us. And Elijah says, you know, God, I want to hear from you. And God says, well, go stand out there. And this great wind tears through the rocks. It breaks the rock in pieces, but Elijah still can't hear God. And then notice the next thing it says, the Lord was not in the wind. And it says, and after the wind, an earthquake. And I'll throw this out a little bit like Matthew 24. We're seeing all these things develop. Yesterday we had tsunami warnings on the west coast of the United States from an underground earthquake. And God is indeed speaking to the planet through all these things that, hey, you know, look up to me for sure. But what Elijah's trying to say here, he says he's looking again for this big entrance of God into these things and says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then it says, and after the earthquake, a fire. And we've seen those things too, that again, especially in the West Coast, all these fires and God's voice not there. But look what it says in that. It says, but then after the fire, a still small voice. And what I want to kind of communicate to us and kind of get us to understand, and by the way, me too, is sometimes we just need some quiet time away from the fray to really hear what God is saying, to really process what God is saying, to really see how does that impact me? What should I be doing? We have to sort of stop and get away from the fray for a minute. And Dial, if you take us down to the next slide, we're gonna kind of see that idea develop. So the discipline that we need to practice, and I wanna encourage us all to do this, is to find a place of solitude or silence, even for a few moments in the day. And I want to share with you, this concept goes back to the Old Testament, and the passage I put on the screen, Genesis 32, 24 to 28, Psalm 46:10 is there as well, and there's some others that go with it, Ezekiel 33 and Lamentations 2, and it just says, in Genesis chapter 32, it says, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, and when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so he said to him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And the point I want to kind of get clarified in this passage to us is Jacob is alone. He actually crosses over a brook. It's just him and God. He wrestles with God. God speaks to him. God changes his life. God really calls him to a new function in this place. And it happens where Jacob is alone. And we see that all the way back in the Old Testament. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I'll be exalted on earth. And that idea again is be still. Like we can kind of get God's presence and understand where he is and what he's doing when we just have that moment of stillness. Sliding on down dial, if you would, to the next slide. Notice this about Jesus. And by the way, you might feel like this today. Maybe you're a mom or you're just involved in so many things. Jesus was certainly involved with healing people. And it says, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases. And he cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth. And I want you to get something out of this passage. Jesus, by the way, is being pressed all night. He's up all night. He works all night. He's doing all these incredible things to help people. And at the end of the day, and at the end of the night, he departs away to be with God, to kind of refocus, get that direction, get that relationship with God going, hear God's voice, and be ready for what is going to come next. And if Jesus had to do that, clearly we need to do that too. And I want to just share with you something. Here's a big idea here. The purpose of this passage and this concept isn't just that we all need to get away and stay away and always be away and always have silence and solitude and rest, but the purpose of that thing is for us to get ready to do what God wants us to do. And you notice when the disciples came, they got Jesus, they found him, and then notice what Jesus said. He didn't say, leave me alone, get out of here, let me just have this time of solitude. He said, okay, now I'm ready, let's go and do what I'm supposed to do. And he says, let's go to the next towns that I may preach there also, proclaim the good news, because for this purpose I've come forth. And what I want to say to us as a body is, when I spend that time alone with God, all of a sudden things become really clear. I can refocus and get back to the purpose that God's made me. When I'm constantly bombarded with noise and distraction, I lose sight of what I'm here to do and what I'm all about. Doesn't that make sense? So Jesus was able to refocus because of that solitude. Now take us to the next slide. Many more examples, by the way, on that. And think about that. Here's the second part. It kind of goes along with this, right? So not only do we need to have that time of solitude and that place to be with God, but we need to be rested. We need to have this sort of Sabbath that God talks about, and I'll explain it in a second. We need to be having this margin built into our lives. And the purpose is that rest and Sabbath and margin fights fatigue and adds focus. And what I want to say about that is this, if I'm really, really tired, I can't really focus well. I won't respond well to interactions with people that come off the way I don't want them to come off. I'm going to be really frustrated and angry if I'm not rested. And I want to throw this out. I want to make a real quick point before I do. Remember, these are the means to an end of being godly and being equipped and growing. These are not the end. But the purpose here is that we need to have that time of solitude. We need to have that time of rest and margin. And by the way, people talk about practicing the Sabbath. This is not something that we do during the Sabbath to get close to God. It's not commanded to New Testament Christians, but practicing that rest and that Sabbath is going to equip us to deal with what is going to come about and what's going to impact us and what's going to hit us right in the face at times. And I want to share, here's the origin of that, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work in which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And the purpose of the seventh day that God had, you know, God rested it. That was sort of an example for us. God rested. But God kind of celebrated and reflected on what he had done, what he created. And he says, I'll skip on down, verse 8, it says in Exodus chapter 20 and 10 commandments, he says, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no more work, nor you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that's in them, and he rested the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And the purpose of what God's trying to say to us, and I like this idea, by the way, said he hallowed it. You know, God set it apart. God set apart a time of rest into our lives that we might get refreshed, that we might overcome our fatigue, that we might add our focus, that we might get focused on God and who he is, that we might celebrate who he is, that we put aside all the cares and all the worries and all those things, and just remember that we are God's creation. We are God's children. He's the one we serve, and he's the one who is gonna get us through whatever we're wrestling with. And that's kind of the point here today. And I'll throw this out. Man, do I struggle with that. How about you guys? Seems like we always got to do something else. In fact, people value us by what we do. What's our work ethic? Those are all still good things, but it's impossible for us to do that 24/7, 7 days a week. And that's what the Lord is trying to communicate to us. We need the rest. We need the Sabbath. We need the margin, because we got to fight the fatigue. We got to get our focus refocused. And that way we can be equipped to do what God wants us to do. We can begin to hear his word when we're rested. We can begin to pray more. We can begin to worship and be impactful to each other once we have overcome the fatigue and the lack of focus. So we're going to move down to the next slide. Very, very important. And you, by the way, can see this in Mark chapter 2. And Jesus, by the way, I want to go right down to verse 27. You see on your screen. In verse 27, it says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." What people always want to do, what we always want to do something so that God likes us, do something so that God loves us. And that was true of the Pharisees, and that's true of the present day Pharisees who try to do all the right things to make God happy and pleased. But the goal here is that God made this time of rest for us to impact us so that he could really equip us the way he designed for us to do it. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath's for us. That rest is for us to take us to this place where we're going to be better off and equipped. And I want to share with you that the ultimate Sabbath, or that ultimate rest that we have, is indeed in Jesus, because he did everything that needed to be done. We just need to be plugged into him, to be in fellowship with him. As John 15 says, we need to abide in him, and we'll have everything we need to do life. The challenge is we are so doggone tired and so fatigued and so unfocused, we can't do what God wants us to do. And we struggle with it, and we get frustrated, and we fight, and we just wreck relationships because we don't do what God really designed for us to do. And I appreciate in Hebrews, this verse at the bottom, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9-11, he just says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." So I just want to encourage us. that God wants us to be diligent to enter into the rest we have in Christ. And part of that is unplugging for a day, a season during every single week to spend that time to rest and reflect on who God is. You don't have to use that time to influence people. You don't have to do to-do list. You don't have to set your calendar up for the next day, but it's truly just to come aside from that, to rest, to refresh yourself, to be with your family, to be with God's people, even do good things, but not to feel stressed about what you have to do. And that's what God wants us to do. So we're going to go down to the next slide. Two things, right? Solitude and rest. Big, big things. And Dow, just advance us down if you would to the next thing. I don't know, Dow, are we stuck there? There we go. Thank you so much. Here's another one, another challenging one maybe for us to do. You know, we're more about feasting than about fasting. The idea of fasting is denying our flesh, disciplining our body, sharpening again our focus. You know, again, we're worried about meals. We're worried about, you know, doing certain things. And the idea of fasting is to sort of come apart from those things for a season so that we can focus again on what's important. And I just want to share with you this passage from the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. It's the first verse that you see there. In the Old Testament, as well as in the New, when the people of God went through really challenging times, they would set aside a fast. They would stop eating and they would pray. And again, as God's people, some people do that, some don't. Largely, maybe in our circles, we don't. But the purpose here, look what he says. It says, they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the provinces are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned many days and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I'm going to throw out to us, a lot of times what's happening with us, unlike Nehemiah, is we are down, we are weeping, we are mourning. Maybe we're praying, but we're probably not fasting and praying and really going before God in the way that God can give us an answer. And he said these words. He said, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make a request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made a confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity, have done wickedly, and even rebelled against your precepts and your judgments. And what I want to say, what I want to share with us is, again, it's so important for us to get away from the fray and the craziness of life and the preparation of meals and all these things. And again, just spend that time alone with God. That's going to give God that platform to speak to us. And Dav, if you would go down, that would be helpful. You know, Jesus picks this up, and I want to just share with us some people say, well, it's fasting for us. You know, Jesus didn't actually command us to fast, but look what Jesus said. He said, more, he says, when you do fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. They may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But your Father who is in the secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. A little bit like we just talked about, you know, the Sabbath. The Pharisees made that something that you had to do to be accepted by God, to be a good Jew in that case, or for us to be a good Christian. No, the idea is that God gave us this to help us separate from the fray and the craziness of our lives so that we could focus on him. So it's not something that we have to do to earn God's favor. It's something that we do to get into his presence. And I want to kind of challenge us again with that thought. And you can see in the book of Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, it was practiced again by the New Testament believers. And it says they were in the church at Antioch, and there were certain prophets, Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them. And then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And the idea here is, And guess what? These people, they got before God and they understood the decision that needed to get made to send Paul and Barnabas away. And when they were clear on that as a result of this process, they sent them away and they were able to know God's will and to follow God's will clearly because they had that focus and that clarity of what to do. And I want to say to us, solitude, the Sabbath and rest and fasting is going to help us to have more clarity and put us in a place where God can speak to our hearts in greater ways. And I want to move down to our last quick concept that we want to cover today, which is another one. And this is more of sort of an inward place that we need to be, which is having an attitude of humility and teachability. And that, by the way, is not something that you see a lot of today. And just like I go back up to the beginning about solitude, the values that we have today are about activity and doing things. And the values that we also have today, we want people to be assertive and to take over. But what God looks for in leaders is this idea of teachability and humility. And the point is, I need to open up my ears, open up my mind and my heart so I can really hear God. And a couple of passages from Proverbs that are great. He just says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. He says, surely he scorns the scornful, those who are full of pride, but he gives grace to the humble. And it says, and you who mourn at last, when your flesh and your body are consumed, he says, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. And you can see when we're not humble and we're not teachable, look where it takes us, to the place of ruin. And I want to challenge us as God's people, we have to be able to hear God. We have to open up our ears and our minds and our hearts to hear God. And I want to throw this out. Here's the challenge. A lot of things that God says just run so against the grain of our culture and even our own thinking that we don't want to hear it. We don't want to be instructed by it. We want to just kind of turn it off. Even these things, like we learned about today, of solitude and practicing rest and Sabbath and being teachable. Sometimes we just don't want to hear that. It just kind of rubs against us in our pride. But what God wants to do is God wants us to be a people that are open to hear him and his spirit and his word. And if we're able to do that, it's going to really change the way life plays out. So Dow, if you would slide down to the next slide there for me real quick. Notice he says this in Proverbs as well, kind of a weird verse, but it's true. He says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool goes to his own folly. Do you see a man wise in his own wise? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And again, God's talking about that teachability. You need to be teachable. And he says this, by the way, in the Gospels, Matthew 5, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall see God. You know, God just keeps lifting up this idea of being teachable, being humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, likewise, you younger people, submit to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and clothed with humility. But there's that concept, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I want to move down to the next slide. And I want to just stop and I want to kind of take all those things together real quick. And I want to ask the question. So where do you struggle in your walk with God? You know, we know we need to practice those core things, engaging the word of God in scripture. We know we need to be in prayer. We know we need to be in corporate worship where we can impact each other. But what are the challenges? And I'm going to throw this out. When we think about our lives, in real honesty, how many of us have moments each and every day of solitude or silence? It's something we need to strive for. By the way, it could be in your car. It could be in your bathroom. It could be somewhere in your house. Maybe you're doing something, you're doing the dishes, but everyone else is gone. It's just you and God and you're listening. But we need to put that kind of thing into our lives so we can really hear God. How about this idea of rest? And I'm certainly convicted on this. Like, is there a time that you set aside and you don't have to use that time to do something? You're not trying to change somebody's mind or change somebody's heart. You're just resting. You're just thinking about the Lord. You're just focusing on him. You're just celebrating who you are in him. You're not trying to get something else done, finish another project. You know, is that kind of thing built into your life? And I'm going to say largely, no, it's probably not. Fasting, again, something we don't do. We don't normally have lots of fasts. Some of the good news people, they do a Daniel fast when they just focus on vegetables for the first couple of weeks in January. Praise God, but we need to kind of separate ourselves. Maybe it's even activities. We're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this for a period of time so I can really hear God. That's an important thing. And then I want to throw out, how many of us are really humble and teachable? You know, how many of us, you know, would say, you know, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to put myself lower than everyone else because I want to learn. I want to know. I know I don't know it all, but I want to hear God. And I want to throw out to us, these are the key things that are going to get us to be equipped and more able to deal with the craziness of life, that we might bring glory to God and do what he wants us to do. So we'll get on to our very last verse, and we're going to close up for today. But the very last verse just says this. It's from the book of James. And we'll move down to verse 21. It just says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And I want to encourage you to be a doer of God's word. You know, God's word kind of gives us these concepts or these principles that then help us to practice them so that we can really grow in our walk with God. So I hope that really helps you guys today. We're going to close with a word of prayer. I want you guys to take a minute to just really evaluate where you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. I just want to pray, dear God, that you would just really, really just work in our heart and our mind. I thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing. I just want to pray, Lord, that you would just convict us, Lord, of some of the issues, Lord, that we have in our lives. Lord, I know we wrestle and we struggle. And Lord, we continue just to fight and to do things our way. Lord, we're tired, we're frustrated, we're all these things. I just want to pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us, Father, today to set aside time, Lord, to be alone with you, to be rested, to overcome that fatigue. Help us even, Lord, to fast at times, Lord, that we might better discern what you want us to do. And finally, I pray, Lord, that you would give us just a humble, teachable heart. And Lord, I just want to ask these things. And I pray that you would just work in each one of us to take a moment today just to evaluate where we really are in this way so that we can better practice those core principles and get to know you and be equipped for what you have us to do. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.